people reciting this and reading this at funerals.
What exactly?
Are you a mocker?
No. I got a lot of mockers today. Here's a gospel card. What's your name?
Mark.
Mark?
Yeah.
I'm James.
James.
My wife, Debbie. Nice to meet you. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm just curious.
By the way, normally when I have a bunch of people going by, I usually tell people I'm here to preach. Send me an email. We'll talk then. But because I don't have a bunch of people, I'm happy to talk to you. And you're not a mocker. I've had to send a lot of mockers away.
Okay,
you don't look like a mocker.
No.
Sometimes they turn into mockers. But I know how to deal with them quickly. So if you change, I'll deal with you quickly.
All right.
How can I help you?
Well, I was just curious. What part of this festival?
Yeah, if you go to don'tperish.com, you'll see a testing on, it's called City on a Hill. I call it Sin on a Hill.
Okay.
They have a false gospel here. They're not going to call you to full repentance out of the world. They're not warning you about hell and the wrath that's coming like Jesus talks about. They bring in men like Chris Tomlin. Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
He's a multimillionaire selling the things of God. What did Jesus make a whip for in John 2?
For the money changers.
People are making money off of it, right? And so they're selling you a ticket to worship God. Do you think Jesus would ever sell a ticket to worship God?
No.
Okay, so he preaches a false gospel. He rarely talks about repentance, warns people, doesn't warn people about hell, doesn't call them out of the world. He's united to Roman Catholicism. Do you know about Roman Catholicism?
Yeah.
It's a total corrupt false Jesus. They actually murdered millions of Christians in the Dark Ages.
Right.
Total false Jesus. He's united to them. He's on tour with Hillsong. Do you know who Hillsong is? Hillsong is corrupt, charismatic. Their church is all in disarray because of sexual perversion and money taking and all this. He's united to all that. So they unite to him with their false gospel, with their worldliness, and then add to it evangelicalism, which most of these people are. Pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter. God never ordained those. These are Roman Catholic holidays. Splicing the world with the body of Christ. You know, the first century body that we try to model ourselves after, when Christ walked the earth. Do you know they were totally separate from the Roman culture? Let me ask you a question. Could you ever imagine Paul or Jesus going to the Roman games for fun and entertainment? Do you think a lot of Christians go to watch the Packers and the Vikings? That's the Roman games. Do you see how the world, Satan has world merged the church and the world together, and how it's corrupt, and it's a different gospel, it's a different Jesus, it's a different spirit? 2 Corinthians 11:4, Paul warned about that. Different Jesus, different gospel, different spirit. So this teaches people you can be worldly, you can be carnal, you can live your own life, and you just show up. Like, you go to Sunday church. Do you go to a church system?
Yeah.
Church you go to?
We go to my wife and I go to Rock Hill.
Rock Hill, what is that, sir?
Evangelical.
Non-denominational. Oh, evangelical free.
Yeah,
okay, typical thing. Probably they're feminized, okay? They don't. You notice my wife covers her head. Did you know, going back to the evangelical roots, evangelical free, all the teachers then taught women to cover their heads, and women wore dresses. Actually, the Bible teaches men to wear a tunic-like garment because he shed blood and killed an animal and covered us in Genesis 3. That's just one small thing. Pagan holidays and evangelical free. One guy standing in a box preaching every Sunday, when what? If all of us men show up, shouldn't we all be sharing and giving and talking? And that's how the New Testament body was. And so close, tight-knit groups, you know, real close, not keeping pagan holidays. Worldliness is not part of it. So if you're worldly and you're in our house body, we're going to come to you and say, what was your first name?
Mark.
We're going to say, Mark, you got a television in your house, Mark. Can we ask you a question? Does that further the kingdom of God? Does it glorify God? Is there anything really good on TV that's pure and edifying and lifting up? You're going to go, not really. And we go, Mark, you need to leave that behind and come follow the kingdom of God. They don't do that churchianity. They tell you we all sin a lot. Okay, and that's the gospel. The gospel is Christ shed blood by his perfect work. We put our faith in it. But it's not faith alone, grace alone. Faith always is accompanied. What's always accompanying a saving faith? How well have they taught you? What always comes with a true saving faith? Thank you. So they got that right, but they don't believe it. They don't really do it, but they might have gotten that to you. Works of holiness and obedience, which is coming out of the culture, coming out of the pagan ways, coming out of all the entertainment and politics and sports and this. So I just gave you a whole bunch of them. If you go to don'tperish.com, I have thousands of articles for free. I don't want your money. I support myself. They are going to take your money to make Chris Tomlin richer and all these people richer and put them on their album covers. And this is not of God. This is a pseudo false Christianity system with a false gospel that doesn't transform your heart and your mind. When your heart's transformed, your mind is transformed, you know what happens, Mark? You no longer want this. I used to be a worldly, drunken, fighting, pornography following man. And you know what? God changed my heart and my mind. Now my flesh would like that. But you know what the crazy, not crazy, you know what the awesome thing is? Even if I tried to go back to those sins, I'm ruined to them forever. Do you know why? Because they don't mean nothing anymore. They're not even fun anymore. It might be fun for a split second, then you go, oh, what did I do? And God changes your heart and your mind, and that's our protection and our armor so that we no longer walk in the ways of the world. You're not going to get that in Sunday church attendance. How you get that is by walking with other godly people. You're only, you and your wife, I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth, you're my neighbor. You and your wife are only going to rise to the level of holiness to the people in that place. As soon as you go above it, if we showed up and I start preaching and telling people, hey, we got to come out of the world. We can't be part of football. We can't be part of politics. We can't. Do you ever have to look down and not look at some of the women and how they dress?
Yeah, of course.
If I start coming there and preaching that, the pastor's going to go, we're not sure you fit in here. You know, you're teaching works and you're teaching salvation by works. Oh, no. No, I'm saved by the grace of God and the faith of God, and it's proving out by my works. James 2 says, your works justify your faith. They don't have the works of God. So I would really encourage you. I have a 10-point test on my website. I have the gospel that you can go through. I have teachings on all that. You got my email. I'd love to encourage you. I'll Bible study with you. I'll come meet you. I'd love to see you go deeper and become a true man of God. The holiness of God is up here, Mark. Evangelical free is down here. You know that's true. You got to get here. You're not going to be saved. You're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You're not going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Can your wife have boyfriends?
No, of course not.
Can she just maybe hold a couple guys' hands and kiss them and stuff?
No.
So you are pretty demanding on her, right?
Of course.
Because she's your bride.
Yeah, we made a covenant.
Did you know... Good. Covenant. Did you know you're in a covenant if you claim to be of God and you're his bride and he wants you all for himself, and that pagan ways and the worldly ways and the sinful ways, you're actually cheating on God.
Right.
You ever thought about that? It's spiritual cheating.
Yeah, I've thought about that. Not necessarily with this, but yeah.
It is. Because the Bible says in Romans 16:17, mark and avoid those who teach counter to sound doctrine and avoid them.
Right. I think especially those who claim to be Christians, because I think
that's why I'm here. Right. These people are all mad. The people are mad. They said, why are you here calling out a Christian place? I said, who did Jesus call out? The Pharisees. Who did Paul call out? The Pharisees. Who did John the Baptist call out? The Pharisees. When I go into the world, I'm a full-time street preacher. I don't go into the world, the lost people, and tell them, you better, right now, you better be living by God's ways. I preach the gospel. And when they say, yeah, I'm a worldly man, I want to repent, then I teach them God's ways. Here, these people all claiming to be Christians, I'm going to hold their feet to the fire and say, you're claiming to be a Christian, you're not keeping the ways of God. You're a hypocrite, not you in general, but you're hypocrites, you're being hypocrites, and you're lifting up ungodly, unbiblical men and furthering their pockets and going against God. And so when you sing and pray with this is spiritual adultery. It is. When you sing and pray with this is spiritual adultery. No different than if you went to a Mormon church, than if you went to a Roman Catholic church. Because this is not the biblical truth. And even the evangelical faith, it's not the biblical truth. It's full of a bunch of man-made traditions. And Jesus said in Mark 7, howbeit in vain you worship me, keeping your false man-made traditions. So do you realize you and your wife, in love, I got to tell you, you're worshiping God in vain in the evangelical free system because you're keeping a bunch of false traditions. How many days did Jesus say he'd be in the grave?
Three.
How many nights?
Three.
Can you get and you practice Good Friday to Easter Sunday morning resurrection?
I mean,
that's what they practice at EV. Can you get 3 days and nights out of that? It's a lie. Revelation 22 says if you love and practice a lie, you'll be put outside of the kingdom. That's a Roman Catholic holiday, Good Friday. It's a Roman Catholic tradition, Sunday resurrection. Jesus dies on Wednesday. He rises on Saturday. You know why? Saturday was the original Sabbath. He's our Sabbath rest today, according to Hebrews 4. It's a lie. They're teaching you a lie. Christmas is a lie. God never ordained that. Paul, Peter, John, none of them kept Christmas. Why do you?
I have an answer, but
and then I can promise you something. If you start asking these questions, I don't know where your wife's at on her spiritual journey. I don't know if she'd be going, amen, or come on, Mark, get out of here. But if you start asking these questions, your pastor's going to go, oh, Mark, you're not going to fit in here. You're going against the grain. You think you know better than I went to seminary. You think you know better, and you just open the Word of God and go, I think the Word of God knows better. And you show them, and they go, Mark, you're really being contentious. Well, Jesus came to divide. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He came to bring a sword. He didn't come for us all to get along. If that was true, I'd be in there singing with them and going, doesn't matter what anybody believes. But I'm out here. And people say to me, how are you going to reach anybody out here? And I said, I've talked to hundreds of people today by standing out here being separate from that. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. I go to the Super Bowl, I stand outside, and I'm a testimony. Hopefully, by the way, I act, talk, look, and dress of a biblical Savior, and I should not fit into the world. Israel, if you've studied the Old Testament, did they fit in with the world?
Not when they were doing what
they were nothing like the world. When they were in sin, they were like the world. That's the American church. United to the world.
So, just a quick question. So you're not, are you against, like, entertainment as a whole? Like, the entertainment in itself is a sin? Or is
well, movies. I mean, do you know what an actor is in the Greek? Hopefully you look at Greek and Hebrew words. I encourage you to do that. Yeah. Look up the root Greek and Hebrew words. Let me give you a quick example. 1 Timothy 2:9 says women should wear modest apparel. What is modest today? You look around, it's changing all the time. Do you know what the Greek means of that verse? Neat, orderly robe. Your wife should be wearing neat, orderly robe or dress. Not pants, not shorts. That's what it says. Yeah, that's what it says. So look at the Greek and the Hebrew. And so if you look at the Greek of the word actor, you know what an actor is? A liar and a hypocrite.
Yeah, puts on a mask.
Yeah, actor and hypocrite, they're liars. And so that's all fleshly entertainment. Did Jesus ever entertain himself with the culture? Or Paul? They did like five things. They didn't. He went out into God's creation and recreated himself, but he didn't go and see the Roman games. You know, they did five things. They like preached the gospel and had fellowship. They slept. They worked when they had to, and they recreated themselves. And then they did ministry. And of course, yeah, I bet I mentioned sleep. I think I did. They did like five things. But entertainment and all that, movies and sports, how is that further in the kingdom of God?
Right. Yeah. No, I understand.
Let me ask a question. If you were a lost soul and you didn't know Jesus, or if you were just an American, you didn't know Jesus, and you wanted to hear the gospel, would you want someone like you to be sitting watching TV or out handing out gospel cards?
Out handing out gospel cards.
What God wants you to do. Yeah, entertainment's sinful. Entertainment feeds your flesh. Romans 8 says we can't please God in the flesh. So we're to be about study, fellowship, proclaiming, raising, supporting your family, and then going out and finding your ministry. Not everybody's going to be a street preacher, but find your ministry. I retired early to do this. I fund myself and don't take people's money. I had a bunch of people lying about me. Oh, you're making a bunch of money off your website. I'm like, you're false judgment. I don't make any money anywhere on any of my ministry. I'm not that popular. You got to be popular, like Chris Tomlin, to make money from YouTube, make a penny a click and all that. You got to be popular. I'm not popular at all. And Jesus said you wouldn't be popular. What did he say his true people would be in the last days?
Oh, they'd be hated.
Hated. I'm hated. All the Christians came out here and they love to just yell at me and get in my face. And yeah, I tell people, I got beat up at a Baptist church by their security guards on a public sidewalk. The religious people are the worst ones to deal with. The guys in the gutter, the homeless people and the worldly people and the gangbangers, they shake my hand. They go, man, I'm not ready to follow Jesus, but thanks, man. Thanks for loving me. They don't call the police on me. They don't beat me up. Maybe someday they'll rob me. I don't know, but it hasn't happened yet. The religious people. You call the cops, and the cops show him and go, he's fine.
Yeah.
The cops show him, here, you're fine, man.
Yeah.
It's perfectly legal. So you need to test your life, all areas of it, and see, are you really, truly following Jesus? Are you ready? I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a bino? A bino. Ready?
I'm Mexican, man.
No. I hope you remember this. A bino. Are you a believer in name only? Which means, I'm a believer. I go to church. That's about it. If you went to court, they say, okay, saying he's a born-again Christian. What evidence do we got? Well, he goes to church on Sunday. What does he do the rest of his time? Movies, TV, sports, fishing, hunting, flopping around in the beach with naked clothes on. No other evidence that he's a born-again Christian. You see my point? The evidence should be overflowing against a true saint. That's what I want you to do. Test yourself, and you have to repent and come out of that. And if that, I can promise you they won't. I've never seen a modern pastor yet that repents and gets things right for his body. I've never seen, out of the hundreds I've dealt with, you know why they all stay in this? It's popular, makes money, Christmas and Easter everybody loves. If the pastors were to preach the truth and tell women to dress down, men to dress down, get rid of TVs, throw out the Packers, you think there's going to be a lot of people in that building?
No,
I believe. favor of man. So if you want to stand for truth, be prepared to leave that system. And here's what I always recommend, if I could. If anything I've said to you is true, I don't have any truth. It's in the Word of God. Take 2 months. Tell everyone, you know what, I won't be in church for 2 months. I'm not falling away. I'm taking a vacation from the Sunday thing. I'm studying the scriptures every minute, and I'm seeking and testing everything I know, and I'll talk to you on the other side. And if you do that, Mark, for 2 months, you and your wife, study. And my website would help you. If not, just get in the Word, the New Testament mostly. You will find out that you're keeping sin and false ways and worldliness, and you're not truly a disciple. You're a cultural Christian, not a biblical Christian. Take that time. And if you really seek that, you'll come out of that, and you and I will be brothers. You'll say, man, I'll have the fellowship with you long distance. We'll Bible study with you, and we'll help you if you truly do that. But it'll cost you. You're going to lose most of your friends. You're going to lose most of your family. I lost my career. I was a salesman. You know, salesmen have to lie and things, and I just couldn't do that. You lose all of that. But are you willing to lose that? You may lose your wife. Ready? I'll ask you a hard question. If you decide to follow Jesus with all you are, and your wife says, I ain't going for that. I didn't marry a guy that's a biblical guy and comes out of the culture. And she says, I'm leaving you unless you recant of this whole biblical Jesus thing. Are you willing to lose your wife? You don't have to answer that now. Ponder that. That's the kind of love Christ requires. And if you don't have that, you don't really have it. You've been gracious, man.
Yeah, no.
I love you. I can tell you're a truth seeker. I've talked to a couple young men, and that's why I might have come for you. I came for a couple young men, and that's why I do this. I go, and I meet a lot of mockers. I have to deal with a lot of bad stuff, but I do it because I get to meet. I used to have a homestead, and I could sit on my porch, and I could look at the deer and the turkeys and live in peace and serenity, but I have a question. Can I meet you sitting at my porch? I got to come out here. My wife and I are van dwellers. You can see it all on our Facebook page or on our website. We camp in our van. Our little camper van. We camp all over. We support ourselves. I street preach all over. I teach online. My wife has a page for women, and she disciples on Facebook and disciples women. We know disciples. We know saints all over the world. But you know what we know? Scattered saints all over the world, not groups of people in a building. The people in the buildings are compromised. If you know of a biblical place, email it to me. I'd love to see it. It ain't E-free.
So then how do you deal with, like, not, like, the passage in Hebrews about, like, not forsaking the gathering of the saints?
Well, we don't. I'm with my wife all the time. She's a godly saint. Okay? So we're always together. And I know other people that are following Christ, so we gather with them online and we encourage them. Hebrews 10:26 and 10:25 is really more about, I have an article, I have two articles out on my teaching blog. It's really more about gathering to Christ, because at that time, they weren't stuck into a religious gathering system like today. There was no even Sunday gathering then the way it is today. So the don't forsake the gathering of yourselves really means us drawing close to Christ together. It wasn't like a Sunday religious place. So you can be a home fellowship. You can gather with other saints. But here's the thing. What if there's nobody in your town that's biblical? What if they're all worldly, carnal, compromised? Would God say, I'll go gather with those sinful people? Did Noah do that? No. You would have to say no until you bring me holy saints. I'm going to draw the line. I'm going to be the example. And I can, if you already know us, we'll encourage you online. And then as you witness and preach, you might get some holy people that go, yeah, well, we need to come out of E-Free too. And then you have biblical people. But see, here's the thing. If you compromise, when you compromise, what does it lead to? More compromise. When you draw a line and you say, no compromise, I'm standing out, I'm standing holy, I'm standing separate. They go, wow, Mark. And some people that might be seekers might go, Mark, why are you doing this? And you go, wow, I've been studying the scriptures. This is all sin and wrong. And they go, I've been thinking that too, Mark. Can I talk to you? And then you might get another couple, and they might go, you're right. But don't expect a lot to come. Jesus said few in Matthew 7, and that word few in English, it means puny. Hey, puny, you're going to go in here, look around you. A puny number of these people are going to inherit eternal life.
Right.
Per Jesus. Listen to this. This is fleshly. This makes you move this. The word says we're to sing with our lips, and it's supposed to move our spirit. This is fleshly. This sounds like a nightclub I used to go drink at. The New Testament saints didn't even use instruments. Did you know that? They sung with their lips. You got articles on all that. This is all. You know, there was no instrumental music in the New Testament body for 900 years. You know who brought it in? The Roman Catholics brought in organs. There was no instrumental music. It was singing with your lips. And when people sing with their lips to God, does anybody feel like dancing?
It's just a beautiful offering. But this, you know it, right? This CCM music, I was telling those young people, you know what's really sinful about CCM music? Forget that it's all the worldly, carnal, compromised people. CCM music, you have a bad day at work, you're driving home. Oh man, I'm gonna pop my favorite CD in. And what does it do? Lifts your mood. You're feeling really good. The music and the flesh of it is making your mood change. Who are we supposed to rely on for our joy and our peace? Not that music. You should be singing, make a noise to him. You should go home and sing with your wife or sing with other true saints, or you should be praying, or you should be thinking about scripture. That's going to lift you up. This is just a false placebo high. That's all this is. That's all this is. It's just a false placebo high. It's not of God.
So I know particular rappers that their content and their
lyrics, rapper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like hip hop or rap.
You talking about like Lecrae?
No.
He's a wicked false teacher.
I agree.
He is so compromised, but any rapper I would consider compromised.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but is it because of the music style? Like the beat?
Well,
the
not only their music, and it's fleshly and it makes you jump around and dance around, but then I look at their theology, none of them are biblical and holy. They don't preach a biblical gospel. They don't come out of the world. They don't live holy. They're all connected to either evangelicals or false ways. So, yeah, look at the whole package, not just the music.
I think I have a song. I'll email you a song that I think you might like. It's called False Teachers.
You email it, and I'll listen to it, and I'll tell you my thoughts on it. I'll tell you my thoughts on it. And, yeah, I'd love to correspond with you. And here's the thing. Unlike pastors and unlike Chris Tomlin, I've been out here calling him. Yeah, I've been calling him a music whore. You know why he's a music whore? What do you call a woman that sells her body? A whore. He sells music for money. He's a music whore. I've been standing out here. He's untouchable. He won't come out and give an answer. You can contact me, email me. You can challenge anything on my website. If your pastor, I'll make an offer to you. If your pastor says, oh, that's a cult, they're workspace, they're a cult, they're all this stuff, you know what you tell your pastor? Say, you know what? He said he's teachable, testable, and listen. Hey, pastor, get him on the phone. I'm going to listen. You and him talk, and I want to hear
you.
Exactly. I want to hear what you have to say to this guy. And he said he'll listen to you. And then he's going to have questions for you, pastor. I've been dealing with pastors for years. I trust you. Trust me. Your pastor does not want to talk to me because the Word of God is going to splice him to pieces. If he wants to repent, that would be glorious. The problem is most of them are being paid to be hirelings, to keep false ways, to be compromised. He'd have to lose all of that.
We pay him. Through the offering and stuff like that.
Right. But what I'm saying is he's got to make... The Bible says in the last days, people will be scratching itchy ears.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they'll have the appearance of godliness, but they deny the power of God. You know what the power of God is? Today, you know what the power of God is? It's not the signs and wonders and the miracles like all these false charismatics are doing, like Chris Tomlin's united to, with all the tongues and they're saying all these healings and supposed miracles. No, Satan's going to bring all these miracles back in the last days. You know what the power of God is? Transformed life. You can live a holy life. Now, I don't teach you can live sinless. You're going to make mistakes. Your flesh is going to rise up. But you can repent of it. You don't have to live in sin. My sin level when I came to Christ was a 10. I've got it beaten down to a 1 or a 2. Not by my will, not by my ways, by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, getting rid of my TV, getting rid of all the fleshly hobbies I had, living in the Word, striving in the Word, doing ministry. You can do that. That's the power of God. That's the power of God, and you can do it. Don't let anybody tell you you can. And don't let anybody dissuade you from seeking the truth of God, because if you listen to the churchianity people, they're going to convince you. Oh, no. Oh, Mark, you won't have friends if you do that. Oh, Mark, you'll never have a bunch of people. I have a question. Where did Jesus ever say you'd have a bunch of people around you as a true disciple of Christ? He said in Luke 18:8, will there be any faith left on earth when I return? We're in the great falling away. This is part of the apostasy in the last days. That's what this is. This is the apostasy. This is the falling away. There's not going to be a revival. There's going to be more falling away into fall. You know what's going to happen next in the evangelical churches? Ready? I'm not a prophet, but this is what I predict. Ready? They're already accepting it, but it's going to come soon. Along with their tax-free exemption that they all love to have, which that's uniting you with the government. That's sinful. You know what they're going to tell them? You got to approve of a gay, transgender, lesbian, and you won't get the 501c3.
Right.
And
they're going to go, well, we disagree with it, but we got to have that tax exemption. That's the next thing that's coming. They're going to open the floodgates. They already are. There's already evangelicals saying we can't win that. We let it go. We'll just turn from that. And they're going to allow that in. And that's just another, it's just one sin, just another sin. But it's just another sin on the road to the broad road to destruction, right, rather than standing holy and being separate.
Right. Like you said, little compromises always lead to
little leaven. Galatians 5:9, a little bit of leaven, a little bit of sin affects the whole thing. And so you need to root all the sin out of your life. And when you do that, you'd be a holy vessel. You can't unite to sin. You can't unite to this or the E3. Then you step out and you be separate. And then people say, Mark, what happened to you? And you go, I'm following Christ in holiness. And you go, they go, what do you mean? Aren't we? Well, let me share it with you. If they're seekers like you, if they're mockers, you don't listen to them. Jesus said, you don't listen to mockers. You don't entertain mockers. But you must set your course for the kingdom of God and the truth of God in all his ways. Otherwise, you're not going to make it.
Right. And so I'm sure maybe you have an article up.
I do. I got 4,500 resources on the website. It's huge.
Okay. Do you have anything on like, do you ever get any... like people calling you like a Gnostic Christian,
or atheist, things like that.
No, Gnosticism.
Oh, Gnostic, the new. I've dealt with a few new. I don't know if I have any articles on it, but what's your question about that?
Well, no, I'm asking like if you've ever been accused of being like Gnostic, like.
No, because everything I teach is right in the scriptures. Gnostic means new. Gnostic is new revelation. Everything I teach is right from Genesis to Revelation. And I don't teach Torah law. Now, there are some pre-Torah things we still keep. Like, you're married to one woman. God said that in Genesis 2. God said for man to take dominion over animals. Like, if a grizzly bear was to crawl into your house and try to eat your wife and kill her, you would take you take dominion over him. You don't go, oh, the poor grizzly bear. Boom! Blow him away, and then maybe the DNR gives him to you, and you eat him. Okay? That's taking dominion. In Genesis 3, God killed an animal and put us in tunic garments. That was it. In Genesis 9, God said, don't eat blood. And that echoes forward in Acts 15. So then you have Torah law, which we don't keep Torah law, 613 laws for Israel. That was given for Israel in that time. So there's some pre-Torah things, and then mostly all the New Testament things that we keep. So, no, I've never been accused of a Gnostic, because everything I teach is right in the scriptures. The Gnostics are like the Apocrypha. And the newer writings and things like that, and that's not what I teach. Genesis to Revelation. Yeah. I'd love for you to email me. I'd love to hear from you.
I'll email you. I got your card right here.
Yeah.
Can I have your name again?
James.
Okay. Yep. Nice to meet you.
James, and this is my wife, Debbie.
Yeah.
What's your wife's name?
Taylor.
Yep. Keep you in our prayers, and I'm hoping that you... You're what?
We got three sons.
Three sons. Yeah. Awesome. I'm hoping that you push through. It will be a hard, hard journey of great loss, but ultimate eternal life will be your reward. But you lose much. Jesus said so. You cannot become a disciple of Christ unless you're willing to lose everything. You know, it's crazy, Mark. I hear these people tell me, no way, I'm not going to take the mark of the beast. I'll stick my head in a guillotine and die for Jesus. They won't even get rid of their television. They won't even turn away from pagan Christmas and Easter. The last guy I talked to wouldn't even stand up to his feminized wife, but yet he's going to stick his head in a guillotine. You really think he's going to do that? That's a lie. If you're not living for Christ, you're not going to die. Amen?
Amen.
I love to hear from you. I love you.